Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's hour two of the show. One of the great things about this summer, yes, I realize Saints training camp is here, so the doldrums of the summer here locally for sports fans kind of over, but there hasn't really been any of those doldrums because of what the Pelicans have done since David Griffin alive. They've been the talk of not only the city and the region, but kind of the talk of the country in the NBA. It's been great to cover them here. They've got fairly, relatively high expectations, I think, heading into the fall. I still think playoff expectations. Anybody who think this is surely a playoff team might be a little off base. You got to look at the depth in the Western Conference, but it is going to be a very exciting and intriguing season to watch. I mean, this team is 15 guys deep right now, which is just silly to think about. They might not have the top flight talent that a Lakers team does or a Clippers team does, or the Warriors in the West, but they're as deep as any team in the league. And that's not something you could have ever said during the Dell Demps era, the Anthony Davis era. The transformation has been pretty incredible. We're going to talk a little Pelicans here and bring on in Andrew Lopez, NBA writer who covers the Pelicans. He's on Twitter @_Andrew_Lopez. Andrew, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, man. It's kind of funny. I didn't realize that Saints training camp was so close upon us just because people have still talked about the Bell so long. Like, I kind of forgot until you're saying it like just now. I can hear you in my ear. I'm like, oh, that's next week. Oh, like, where are you at the end of July? Like,
yeah. I will tell you this. It has been a blessing for me sitting in this seat, Andrew, because sometimes sports talk in July and late June can get pretty darn dry. But it wasn't with the Pelicans who made this run in the summer league. And I think we were all captivated because when Zion went down in that first game, we're thinking, oh, boy, here we go. This is going to be pretty ugly. And it turned out not to be. We had, you know, Nickeil Alexander Walker stepping up. We saw good play from Jackson Hayes. What'd you think of this group in the summer?
Yeah, I mean, those two excelled, and obviously Nickeil Alexander-Walker makes it to the All-Summer League first team. Jackson Hayes was voted onto the second team by the media who's covering out there. And then maybe your third best player, Didi Luzada, who showed flashes of what he can do, knocked down some threes. He made a game-winning steal at one point. He's not even going to play on this team this year. Like, it's kind of crazy for me to think about because he's not even going to be on the team. He's going to play in Australia next year as a part of that Rising Stars program that they have. You know, same program that LaMelo Ball is going to be in, Lonzo's little brother. So to me, it was kind of eye-opening, and it just kind of shows you last year's second-round pick, Tony Carr, was finding trouble getting playing time on this team. Like, it was – it's just the talent across the board has come so much, maybe jumped up below another level. I mean, if at the end of the season, I would have bet any amount of money that Christian Wood was going to be on this team come October, and he's already waived and been claimed by another team. So it just kind of to show you with how much talent has been developed by David Griffin and acquired by David Griffin in just a short time.
It also shows, I think, Andrew, at least to me, that they're really confident with Derek Favors, Zion Williamson, Jahlil Okafor handling the front court, considering they got rid of Chick Diallo and they got rid of, like you just said, Christian Wood. It seems like they're pretty comfortable with those guys in the front court.
Yeah, you're probably going with Ja and Derek Favors as your two centers, Zion and Nikola Melli as your two power forwards. And then a lot of your depth is built on the three guard spots. So, you know, however you look at the small forward spot, but all of your depth is there. Yeah, Brandon Ingram can probably play the four a little bit in some small lineups. But overall, I mean, that group is really, you know, he put his stamp on this very quickly. It helped that you had an Anthony Davis trade to kind of move a lot of pieces, but he quickly put his stamp on this Pelicans team.
You know, I'm curious to watch now is how they cut the fat on this roster. And like I said in the open this hour, you know, 15, they're actually about 16, 17 deep now. I would assume, Andrew, that guys like Zion Cheatham and are going to be cut and maybe a I don't know, maybe a Kenrich Williams might be gone too. How do they cut this fat and get down to that 15?
You're at 15 now. Cheatham and some of these other guys they brought in are still on two-way deals. But the beauty of what you have right now is you have a G League team. You have a team that you can send guys to, and you can fill out that roster. Cavell Bigby Williams, you know, he was close to agreeing to an Exhibit 10 contract, which means he'll go into camp, but if they cut him, he gets a bonus if he goes to Erie. A lot of what they're doing right now is planning, I think, for that team. And then, you know, you look at a guy like Etuan Moore. You look at a guy like the contract that they signed Darius Miller to. $7 million in that neighborhood for a year for Darius Miller seems very high until you realize maybe you combine Etuan and Darius and maybe send them out for somebody. You could take back $14, $15 million in salary. I think once you get into the season, you see how things are going. If you're in the playoff race, you know, you can make moves to boost your roster. If you're out of the playoff race early, if those young guys don't develop the way you want, maybe, you know, it's going to be a slower year, maybe at the trade deadline, you send Etuan off to a contender, you send Darius off to a contender, and you can take back a big contract or pick. So you can do a lot of different things with the way this roster is constructed, both in the terms of how guys are going to play, guys can play multiple positions all over the place, and with, you know, probably the back end of that roster maybe changing come the trade deadline.
An NBA writer covering the Pelicans, Andrew Lopez, joining us. And Lopes, the small forward spot is going to be an interesting one to see who starts in this five. And everybody's assuming it's Brandon Ingram. But can we really believe with confidence he's going to be healthy? It sounds like he hasn't even shot a basketball in three, 4 months right now.
Yeah, I still think everything is everything reads as if he's going to be fine. I mean, even if he, let's say, he starts shooting in 2 weeks, he's still going to be, that's still, you know, almost 2 months, you know, six, seven, 8 weeks before training camp starts. He'll be fine. But you do have a real question. I think Lonzo and Drew are kind of slotted in as starters at the two guard spots. You'd figure Zion is slated to start at the four. Derek Favors slated to start at the five. And that three spot is kind of up in the air. Do you put J.J. Redick there? Do you put Brandon Ingram there? I think, personally, I'd go Brandon Ingram. But if you were to make the argument that you start J.J. Redick and you bring Brandon Ingram off the bench as like a super sub who's still going to play 30, 32 minutes a game, I'm not going to argue with you. He can be the playmaker on that second unit. He can kind of be your Lou Williams, where he's still going to get, you know, 20, 22 points a game. But the fact that Alvin Gentry has to make those decisions right now, I think he's going to like having to make those decisions compared to where he was, you know, making roster decisions at the end of last year.
Oh, man, no doubt. It's a good problem to have. And we know Alvin Gentry is one of the architects of that Golden State offense, and they're known to kind of have, I guess, led the generational shift to small ball in the NBA. So it doesn't make sense for J.J. Redick to go that small to have a 6'5 guy who's really a perimeter threat, and that's about it, playing the three. Is that something we could see a lot of this year?
I mean, I think it's something you've already seen a lot of because it's basically what they did last year with Etuan Moore. I mean, Etuan Moore at 6'4", he's even really smaller than J.J. He played a lot of the three last year, and it depended on where you were kind of shifting your lineups. You know, you were rolling out lineups with Elfrid, Drew, and Etuan. All three of those guys are 6'4". And I think what you can do this year is you have a little bit of an extra boost. Lonzo, 6'6". Can really guard 1, 2, 3. So maybe if you put that lineup out there, you can put JJ on the softest of the or the guy you're not afraid of those three guards, the least one you're afraid of at the 1, 2, 3 spot. Lonzo could defend up. Drew can defend up. We've seen that obviously year after year. So I don't think the size will be the issue, but if you're looking for spacing early on, I think that's what J.J. helps.
Well, you mentioned Lonzo there. It's interesting. And I'm sure you've heard this just as much as I have. The Pelicans fans coming out of the woodwork to say, oh, man, I don't like Lonzo here. His dad is going to be a distraction. Seems like he's actually going to fit into this offense pretty well. Do you think that, Andrew? Do you think that he's kind of a natural fit for what Alvin Gentry wants to do in this system?
Yeah, I mean, I was talking to somebody earlier today about it, and he's going to fit into the offense the way Elfrid Payton fit into the offense in the sense of he's going to be the guy to distribute. He's going to be the guy to get to the basket, make the elite, you know, the passing move he needs to make. He is an elite passer. That is one skill you can't take away from him. He's an elite rebounder for a guard. So he's going to bring a lot of what Elford brought and then even ramp it up more on the defensive end. I mean, I really think that between Elford between Drew and Lonzo, you really can have one of, if not the top defensive backcourt in the NBA next year.
Andrew Lopez joining us. Andrew, the other, and I'm using air quotes here, the other guy in this trade, Josh Hart, kind of endeared himself to the fan base with his embracing of New Orleans. We saw reports, I think yesterday or day before, that there were multiple teams that were trying to trade for Josh Hart at draft time, teams that were drafting in the 20s, and David Griffin and company said, no, we like him that much, we're going to keep him along. Is that right?
Yeah, and Joel Myers, I think, said that on SiriusXM, obviously the play-by-play guy for the Pelicans, but in the press conference itself, Griff told this story about how, Josh Hart called them and said, look, I know you could probably get a lot for me. And if we're being real, I think getting a first-round pick for Josh Hart would be a big coup if you could have got that for him in the draft, even in the 20s. But, Josh Hart told David Griffin, please don't trade me. I want to be in New Orleans. I want to be a part of what this is, what you are building, what you are going to do here. So for him to say that, I mean, I think if you had a bingo card of things a player needed to do in New Orleans to be loved by the fans, I think Josh Hart might have blackout right now. Like, he's done literally everything possible. And then he, doubles down on it today where he comes out and says, I'm a Redskins fan, but I got to get in the dome and hear the dome. And come on, man. As soon as you mention the dome and the noise, it just takes you to another level of trying to endear yourself to all these fans.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Love me some Josh Hart. Final one, Andrew. And I know we're way away here, but everybody wants to know expectations for this team this fall and on into next year. Can they be a playoff team? Where do you see them slotting in the Western Conference?
Can they? Yes. I do think they can be a playoff team. Will they? That remains to be seen. It's still the Western Conference. It's still stacked as much as it can be. So it's going to be tough. I do think they're going to be in the race for the 8 seed. But unlike the past few years, if they don't make it, it's not a failed season. You have a lot of moving pieces. You have a lot of young guys. You had a lot of guys trying to prove that they can be better off of injury. So for me, I think if you're just competing, say you go 39-43, you miss the playoffs by, six games or something. You get the 11th pick in the lottery, and then you're going to be even better, and you're going to set yourself up for next year. That's the blueprint that Oklahoma City followed originally. They had to lose first, then they were able to take, Harden, KD, and Westbrook, and make it to the conference finals, make it to the NBA finals. That's the blueprint you want to follow. You have to be – you can't just go jump to 50 wins. If they do it, great, fantastic. I don't know if that happens, but I think you have to plan on it not being, they're going to be a top four seed. They're going to fight for a playoff spot. They may not make it, but it's still going to be a positive step if they can get into that spot this year.
And this is going to be a fun season to pay attention to no matter what happens. Andrew Lopez, NBA writer covering the Pelicans. Be sure you follow him on Twitter @_Andrew_Lopez. Lopes, always appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
No problem, man.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to open up the phone lines for you. Pelicans expectations. You heard Andrew say it there. Playoff fringe, anything more than that, you're probably setting your expectation bar a little too high. You tell me. And also, which players are you most excited for? How would you set up this lineup for the Pelicans this season? Because good problem to have for Alvin Gentry and company. But, yeah, they're loaded very deep on this roster. Phone line and phone number is 504-260-1870. That's 504-260-1870. Our text line is 870-870. I'm Seth Dunlap. Logan's behind the glass. It's the last lap here on WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.